Ethel. 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 Norman. Ethel. Norman. Ethel.
What is it, Nemo?
Ethel, where are you, Ethel?
I'm right here beside you, Nemo.
But Ethel, I can't see you, Ethel.
That's because we're both spirits now.
You mean we're both dead?
That's right, Norman. We're both dead. No chances to get it right with you.
Look, my daughter
now, sweetie. She was a very liberal Vietnam protester prodigy, and we worked on an Oscar-winning film together. And you got to say a bad word for us.
I'm an old poop.
Yes, you are an old poop.
Ethel.
Yes.
Ethel.
What is it, Norman? What? If you say my name one more time, I'll dump these...
Shh, there. Sounds like I'm lifting, doesn't it?
Sounds like you're gonna pick some strawberries.
Bullshit.
What did you say?
That was the bad word that I learned, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, Norman. And you really lost it when your grandson got the fire going away.
You couldn't...
You got some strawberries now, and I'll have some nice Pine Mountain donuts from the Bear Claw when you get back.
Ethel! My heart, Ethel.
Whoa, work on me here, buddy. Bucket, trail, scoop, strawberries.
Ethel!
You old poop!
There's no strawberries in heaven.
There aren't?
Chelsea!
She's gone.
Ethel!
Get over, Chelsea. The cows. The cows. The cows now.
Where are those cows coming from?
Must be trail mix.
Oh no. Trail mix.
Maybe this isn't heaven. After all.
Oh, split the breezes, you mule hip cayuses! Well, hey there, doggy dreamers. It's that time of the week again, kids. It's that time of the month, ladies. It's that time when all us mountain men, women, and children round up the cattle, get back home, and get ourselves some vittles and lovin'. Yes, sir. It's time for Peter Gunn's Trail Mix.
I really love your tree. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey all the time. Ooh, baby, I sure show you a good time. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. My music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. I'm right here at home. You're the cutest thing I ever did see. I love your peaches and your sugar. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey.
Don't feel like going to this party.
There's so many people that you work with, and if you don't go to this party, they'll think you're antisocial. We have to go.
See what's on the radio.
Okay. It feels good.
I just hope that.
Remember
that one guy who's always
we can get through this
bending our ear. What's his name?
Oh, Warden.
Yeah,
Warden.
That's the guy.
Oh, what? Warden. Yeah. The single
Warden.
Guy. Yeah, the guy who lives alone in the apartment over in Broadway.
Warden
Edgewise.
Yeah.
You can't get a word in Edgewise.
Can never get a word in with Warden. Never get a word in Edgewise with Warden Edgewise.
Yeah. I remember when you thought
good
of that.
Good one, honey.
Yeah, well, I thought.
Oh, God, here we are.
Here we are.
Man, I'm not looking forward to this party. We have to go because
it's
work-related stuff.
Your boss invited you. You can't say no.
What are you drinking? Whiskey here before
whiskey.
We go in. I know.
It's against
and
the
I need
law.
A pause. And they,
honey,
these Mormons and these Lutherans, they never have
they
alcohol.
They never have alcohol. So
just wait, honey.
You could have drank it at home.
I need a little more. Yeah, there we go.
Bill, shame on you. You could get arrested, you know.
Yeah. Okay, turn the radio off. Turn
okay,
the car.
Here we go.
Let's go inside now.
Okay.
This is my wife, Maggie.
Well, Maggie, how's it going? I'm Hank, and I'm your boss.
Billy, that's my name, Billy.
Billy's boss.
Most people call me Billy. Some people call me William.
Maggie, nice
Will.
To meet you. Is that Maggie and Billy? Some
call
you an asshole.
Yeah, but I don't know why, but ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, they call you Billy. Right. Well, why don't you come in and get to know some of the people.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Hey,
Billy, let's see what the...
Hey, Maggie, Billy. How's it going?
It's Warden Edgewise.
Hey,
he won't let us get a word in Edgewise. He'll talk her. Please. Oh, no.
Billy, did you know that I come from Delaware?
Hey,
we
gotta go over to the
this
pinata.
This is your beautiful
nice
wife.
To
let
see
me,
you.
Let me squeeze her.
Oh, let go of me.
I come from
the
Delaware.
Blue state.
Billy,
Delaware's the blue hen state. It's also
no,
been
I didn't
called the
that.
Diamond state because Uncle Sam's pocket handkerchiefs.
Really?
It's
oh,
also
boy.
Called New Sweden
what
after
you know?
The settlement of Sweden.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I got to tell you something else. The Cadmean letters?
Mm-hmm.
Myth is an often reflection
well,
of
what do you know?
The 16 letters of the old Garrick alphabet. They used to be introduced to the Phoenicians by the mythological hero
right?
Cadmus from Phoenicia.
Yeah.
Warden,
but, you know,
how's the
it's
painting
funny you should
job
say that, because
bathroom?
I was once a caddy, and I can't help but think of the days when Mary Queen of Scots was the first woman golfer. Did you know that?
No.
She was such an avid player, in fact, that she continued playing her round when she was informed of her husband's murder one day in 1567.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know that, did you?
No.
Yeah. I drive a Cadillac.
And don't care either.
I sure do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No.
It was made originally by the Henry Ford. And he was
cares?
The forerunner of the Cadillac Company.
Mm-hmm. Warden,
later,
you
know, General Motors bought it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We gotta go.
Did you know that the popular salad, which we now know as Caesar salad, it was not named after Julius Caesar nor any of his family?
Really?
It was invented in the 1920s by Caesar Gardini, the restaurant owner in Tijuana, Mexico. There's lots of people that try to claim
something.
You know, they were the first Caesar. Have a drink.
No, we had some.
Oh.
Thanks.
Funny you should say that.
I didn't say
because,
anything.
Because I will tell you something.
Warden. You know,
he was a cop. I know you shouldn't be drinking in the car.
We didn't drink
in the
car.
Did you know that cop is an American and British slang word
obvious,
for
honey?
Police officer?
He
doesn't
can't
derive
smell
from any large copper buttons. I'll tell you that, but or any other
Warden,
kind of police officer. But it was
look at there's some kind of pinata party going on in the kitchen.
Constabulary of police.
We'd really like to
think of it. Constabulary of CO police. P. Constabulary. Yep, or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
No.
It can also be traced to the verb cop,
you know,
which was first recorded in the sense of to catch or capture. You know, I'm going to cop you. Like, could I do that with your wife right now? Maybe
let
cop
go
up you? I'm just joking, Billy. Just joking.
Burton,
it took about a century and a half, but the verb was eventually adopted as a name for policemen. And, of course, they caught and captured crooks, you know.
Uh-huh.
Cops get the crooks.
Right.
Crooks. Now, I'm not a racist, but did you know that a coon is a racial slur against a black person? And it has nothing to do with the animal, which is like also called a coon, like a raccoon?
I didn't know
that. It comes from an American Indian word. Coon
possibly
comes
from
the
last
syllable
of the Portuguese
word. It's really something
that nobody says anymore, much less in a racist town like you come from.
And means buildings, especially constructed to hold slaves for sale. Isn't that terrible? Yes, why don't you have another drink? We've got some Pepsi. And we've got little Marinacea cherries that go with that.
Is that right?
Speaking of which, did you know that Einstein was unquestionably one of the greatest thinkers of all time? Even though now we're getting into quantum physics and so forth.
You're joking.
Of course. But he was, such a revolutionary.
I thought he was just into imagination.
That,
less knowledge, more imagination.
We were able to get the H-bomb from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the H-bomb.
That's right. Now, the Grand Tetons, I think of that whenever I see your wife's lovely form here. French voyagers early named those mountains in northwestern Wyoming.
Would
and
you
it really means big breasts. You could say grand tits,
Billy,
or big tits.
Get
but
him
really means
away
big breasts,
from
me. Which is, of course, the nice way to say Grand Teton. Because of their resemblance, you know, to a woman's boobies. But the same reason that the rounded hillocks or mounds west of
Warden,
the Mississippi
we really
are called Mamilla.
Want to go into the next
or
room.
The French Mamil for a woman's breast. I didn't know that.
I really didn't know that. I really
Grand
never.
Teton.
I think I could have lived
without. It's kind of like Hooterville, you know. Yeah. Did you know that a Hoosier is a nickname for a native of Indiana? That's right.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
I think they had a movie about that once on the. There was a movie about
the basketball
players
in
Indiana.
Yeah,
and
Hoosier
the,
or something.
It's called the Hoosier State.
You know, I saw it on HBO
it
once.
Probably
I really
comes
never
from
cared
the English
to see it again.
Dialect
I'd rather see
word Hoosier
Breaking
or
Bad
anything
or
big or large. In America, the dialect
goodbye.
Word, what do you mean? Wait a minute, I was going to tell you about where a hooker came from.
Goodbye?
Did you know that hooker is for a prostitute may derive from the name of the small vessels called hookers that traded between British ports? Come back here, Billy.
We got to go.
We're
going.
Wait a minute, Maggie.
We are going.
I want to show you something. Wait,
yeah,
Hookie,
you're
Walker.
Right. Hey, you know, Warden, I don't care that you live alone, and I really don't care that you're a very sad
Sarah,
and lonely
did
man.
Did you know Jiminy Cricket's was Pinocchio's friend, and whether Walt Disney knew it or not, it bears a name that is a euphemism for Jesus Christ.
Is that
you know,
right?
Like somebody says, Jiminy Cricket, Well, Jesus Christ. But Disney used that, and unashamedly, is that a word?
I don't think that's a word.
And it's an old one, too, the Jiminy portion dating back to 1664, when it was recorded
as
Gemini, probably deriving from the Latin Jesu Domini,
Warden.
The mild exclamation of surprise, Jiminy.
You can still have my number, occasionally Warden.
Has the same origin, of course, yes. Have some chips. Have some dip.
Warden.
Have some dip. It's really good.
Warden, here's my number.
I love Cherry Coke.
So do I, Warden. Mm. Are you a Mormon?
Those are nice Hooters.
Thank you.
It was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green when I was 17. I was 21. It was a very good year. It was a very good year for city girls who lived up the stair with perfumed hair that came undone when I was 21. When I was 35, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for blue-blooded girls of independent needs. We'd ride in limousines that chauffeurs would drive. When I was 35, has vintage wine from fine old kegs, from the brim to the dregs. It's poured sweet and clear. It was a very good year. Who's your friend?
Dick. Don't say Dick.
What do you know? And you, friend, what's your handle?
Don. Two thumbs Don.
Riding on their armchairs, they dream of wealth and fame. Here is their companion. Nintendo is their game. Never done Jack. Thumbs down and psychic, don't say Dick. We'll laugh at others' failures, though they have not done shit.
I've heard of you. The ready-made, connecting with the ever-ready. Yeah, never was talking about, still trying. I got it, forever bitter, gossiping about never say die. May I inquire what you've been doing, Mr.
Jack?
Never done Jack.
And you, partner, what's the news of the world, Dick?
Don't say Dick.
Don, of all the people, you must be the tattler.
Two thumbs up!
What are you afraid of? Failure. So am I.
Has been.
Implies failure. Not so. Has been's history. Has been. Was. Has been. Might again.
Did you know, Sara Lee, that the first ping pong table, it was made entirely from celery stalks?
You're kidding.
It's true. In China, there were so many hungry people and the social outcasts of that time that they couldn't even finish the game without some vodka and tomato juice.
Oh, goodness, you know so much.
Now, did you... Did you know that mum's the word?
I'm impressed.
Remember that expression? All sorts
mum's
of theories have been offered for the origins of this term. For
mum's
keep
the word.
Quiet, don't tell a soul.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably resulted from the humming mum sound made when one speaks through closed lips. The expression probably dates back to Shakespeare's day, and he used a word something like that.
Oh, Warden. You're such a
muscular Christianity.
What the heck is that?
That's what some people call the expression of manly Christianity.
I see that.
And an anonymous admirer so named Charles Kingsley's brand of religion in the middle of the last century.
I like
that. The religion, I mean, the Reverend taught that in that that it should be hearty and strong-minded in order to help one fight the battle of life bravely and manfully.
That's a good word.
The Reverend Kingsley himself found the term painful, if not offensive,
but
it didn't need his approval.
No.
No, sir.
I like it.
Mm-mm. Dickens, amiable canon, Mr. Cricksparkle, in the unfinished The Mystery of Edwin Drood, is a good example of this type of literature.
Dickens was a funny
now,
guy.
Kingsley, an advocate of social reform, is famous for his novels, Westward Ho and Water Babies.
Oh, Warden, you know so much.
Yeah. Mush, mush,
Mush, French trappers in the Northwest used to urge on dogs, pulling their sleds across the snow with march on. Let's go. Hurry up. This was corrupted to mush on in English, and by 1862 it had become simply mush.
I like to eat mush sometimes.
Dog French, one writer called it. Yeah.
Yeah, dog French. Yeah. It's all French to me.
Muscular Christianity.
I can be funny sometimes, Warden. I have an encyclopedia.
Mad as a March hare.
Mm-hmm.
Erasmus. Excuse me, Sarah.
You made a mistake.
Used the expression mad as a March hare.
Mad as a March hare. Mad as a March hare.
Not March.
He's crazy.
Claiming that hares are wilder in the marshes.
I think Billy
from the
and
absence
Maxine
of hedges and cover.
As
but
March
Chaucer
is.
Had the phrase mad as a hare before him.
Hmm.
And March hare
not
seems
marsh.
To have preceded marsh hare in use.
Oh, is that right?
Buck hares are wild frolickers
buck
in
hares.
The month of
that
March.
That is a manly
season. Their breeding season, which has made them a synonym for lunacy for centuries.
Thinking of billion.
Lewis Carroll gave the expression new life with his creation of the March hare in Alice in Wonderland.
Why does Billy still work
try some of the dip with the celery sticks. I swear it's good, and you can drink...
Thank you.
You can drink Pepsi with it, and it doesn't clash. I swear. Mm, try it.
It is good. Mm. I like the Pepsi.
I have an entire collection of Gilligan's Island you would enjoy, Sarah.
No, I love that show. Can I watch it with you?
There's even outtakes and bloopers.
I'll bring my manuscript.
I always liked Marianne better than Ginger.
Well, you did. You always seemed like a Ginger kind of guy to me, Warden.
You're spitting image of Ginger there, Sarah Lee.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
Where
since you like Mary
did Maggie and Billy go?
That's a good question. They just sort of disappeared.
Where did they go?
I think they're apostates, personally.
Back and hey, we're back. So
we were just helping Eucharist leave here.
An important aspect of
I was validating his parking.
Yeah, you got to do that. Well, that's good of you.
Uh-huh.
An important aspect of relationships is sex. Eventually, I don't want to think about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
A big problem is girls nowadays they just want it all the time, but we need it after wedlock, which that's when it counts. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
and these girls today.
So for this
I'll
reason,
I'll tell you.
So for this reason, well, you don't actually know, right?
Well, I
don't want to get into your past, but
no, it's not a good, it's a dark area.
Yeah, for this reason, we've got people like our caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi, caller.
Hi.
Who are we speaking to?
Are we on?
Yes.
You're on, sir.
Oh yes, hello. I'm.
You're on, sir.
This is Harold Whistlewood, and I am I'm actually, well, I go by Dr. Whistlewood sometimes, but
good.
Okay. Are you a doctor?
Well, I'm a counselor, so you know, kind of works for me.
Yeah. Okay, what kind of counselor are you?
What's that?
What kind of counselor are you?
Oh, I am based out of Irvine, California. I help people overcome urges to sexual gratification outside of the lockage of wed.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Wow, nice. Okay, perfect.
Well, go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, you probably saw my advertisements in Whole Life magazine. which is a bunch of hippies. I kind of use it to calm them into coming to my facility so I can convert them to Christianity.
Perfect.
And meet their aunties and uncles.
I have not seen those.
Mostly aunties.
Okay, good.
Let's go with aunties.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah. All right, so
well,
go on.
Well, okay, I mean...
Aunties.
Yeah.
You're wondering about this whole issue, and I'm sure you've experienced this.
We are,
and,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. There's
have
a lot
ever
of
felt a little tingly wingly down there in the groinia whiny.
I have.
Well,
yeah.
Sometimes that's what you got to fight.
That's okay. Exactly. It's okay. It's perfectly normal. It's normal for women to try and make you impregnate them. That's what's going on right there. If you feel that, it's a woman somewhere in your vicinity. It's sort of like radar with airplanes and helicopters and unidentified flying objects, and satellites and things, except it's with fallopian tubes and urethras, and they belong to women who are trying to get you to let them impregnate you.
Wow.
And that's
impregnate
what you want to avoid.
Them.
Yeah, it's part of the game. We were learning about this sort of strategic flirtation seduction techniques earlier today, so yeah, that makes sense. That's that's what they're after. Okay.
Yeah, it's a big con, basically.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to want you to, start raising the kid.
Yeah, out of wedlock.
They're going to want you to pay money for clothes and food, and eventually they're going to want you to buy clothes and food and money for them, too, not even just the kid.
Typical.
Typical women.
Pretty soon they're going to want you to take them to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Pretty soon they're going to want you to meet their parents.
You're right.
And pretty soon they're going to move to Nevada and take a job in Reno, you know, selling mortgages and marry some other guy. And then they're still going to want you to pay for stuff.
Well, that seems...
Does that happen a lot?
More often than I'd like to admit.
Huh.
Oh. Well, how can we stop this from happening, though?
Well, if you find Christy, you can slit her throat.
And who? And that's the person in your anecdote? Sir?
Who said anything about an anecdote, Sonny?
Oh... Well, I mean, we don't mean that. And more generally, what should we do?
What are you accusing me of?
Nothing, sir, please.
I am pure.
Dr. Whistlewood.
I am pure.
We know you are. Can we...
My dipstick is free of oil. The oil of sin.
Listen, we're not accusing you.
How can we get our listeners to achieve such a dipstick?
Combat.
Combat?
Combat.
That sounds a little
combat.
Harsh.
Combat.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
If you feel a little tickle in the pickle... and you don't see anybody touching it directly.
Yes.
Well, then it's probably a female using her voodoo, you know, feminine menstrual goo magic. And what you need to do is combat them.
Combat them.
Now,
combat
how?
If you will.
Yes.
Well, with my 10-point system of female menstrual ghoul voodoo, well, that's goo voodoo, menstrual ghoul voodoo magic combat kit.
Okay.
And
what do we get from this?
Well, there's these things called corpuscules, all right? They were defined in about 1700s by a fellow named John the Apostle. And these are things that fly out of breasts directly into your ass. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, that's
fine.
Yeah,
We're familiar with the story.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, exactly. John had a mule, basically, and females were trying to send corpuscules into the mule.
Yes.
And that's not okay. Because mules aren't allowed to marry. It's
right.
A big problem in California these days.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do is take your fingers and wave them above your face.
Okay.
And walk around with a blindfold on.
Yeah.
And as soon as you feel breasts,
yeah,
squeeze them with all your might, boys!
Huh. Okay. And what does this accomplish? This
well, it allows you to tap into a deep part of your brain that most people don't even know they have.
Wow.
Yeah, it's right next to the part of your brain that contacts God when you're in the shower.
You're talking about the amygdala?
That's the one.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's delivered there through a complex system of urinary tracts that go through your spine and into your labial majoral and then into your sphincter, into your pancreas, and eventually... all the way to that thing that you talked about earlier when
the
you were talking about parts of the brain.
The limbic forebrain, yes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so
he's
really
the doctor.
Angry.
Let him explain it.
Sorry. So,
are you the doctor?
No, I just know a lot of doctor terms, that's all.
Are you the one that goes by doctor here? I don't think so.
No, I'm sorry. I just know these things. I have a lot
of training
cards.
I've spent a long part of my life earning the right to call myself doctor when it's not appropriate.
Steve calls himself doctor occasionally.
It's a joke. I'm sorry. I don't mean to demean your profession.
Well, I ought to dock you 5 cents every time you say it.
I guess you could. That's all right. So go on. So
yeah, I could. I'm a doctor.
I know.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So when you get really angry, you're getting very primal.
Yes.
Like an ape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Like the kind of person who lives in New Orleans. And all of a sudden, you just start lashing out with your fingernails, with your teeth, with your earlobes, anything you can, anything you've got. And your tongue starts flapping. Then God reaches down and plucks you up to heaven and says, thank fucking Christ. You're a hero, son. You did it, boy! You resisted! And he lets you into heaven.
So your solution to being tempted by a woman is to squeeze her breasts and then die?
In so many words.
I like it.
I mean,
well,
if you're going to put it that way, you're going to kind of kill my business.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to get to the secret of it, but I assume there's a lot of subtleties.
You don't need me, do you? You don't even need me at all.
I think there's a lot of subtleties that...
Well, I don't want you. I don't want you anyway. Okay?
Yeah,
I don't take ads out in the Penny Saver to reach you, college boy.
I graduated. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm not
a
college.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
He does have a degree.
Got a degree.
I have a degree now, yeah.
Well, I use Right Guard, so that makes two of us.
Listen, sir, you sound like you're a little unhinged here.
I've got a bunch of women shooting corpuscles directly into my ass.
All
right.
Right
now.
As
now,
we speak.
Okay, well, I mean, take care of that.
It sounds like I'm really mad at you, but really I'm talking to God inside.
That's fine. That's good then. Okay, thank you. Tell him we say hello.
I'm going to kill you. Christy, if you're listening.
Yeah.
God, I love you.
Okay. Oh, good call, good call.
Good call.
Yeah, very interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze the breast with your fingernails and then die?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's combat.
Well, no. it's depends on, yeah, it's a lot of, it's combat, yeah. Anti-sexual combat. It's just another skill you've got to learn in this whole dating game.
Yeah, well, once you put this all together with Eucharist advice, we've got a whole, you know, the whole process down pretty much, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds good to me. We have any other experts lined up for today, right?
We do. Let's take a little music break first.
Take a little music break and we'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah. Here on the Preacher Round.
Yeah. Sarah, is the Sarah okay?
Just bought me a great long ticket. I'm going to use it at 4 p.m. So you can call your secret love and tell the news to him. You thought your little romance was on the strict QT. So if you want your freedom, PDQ, divorce me, COD. I won't be round to hear you cry. I'm Texas bound. And by, you can reach me down in Dallas, General Delivery. So if you want your freedom, PDQ, divorce me, COD. I know all. I ain't got no PhD. But if you want your freedom, PDQ, divorce me, COD. Texas bound, and by, you can reach me down in Dallas, general delivery. So if you want your freedom, PDQ, divorce me, COD.
Mr. Random was the best teacher I ever knew. He could really teach. I mean, he knew his stuff. He'd take the time to really teach. If I was making C pluses, D's, I even almost had an F one time in chemistry, he'd walk me through my homework. After the school bus left, even. He made sure I made a passing grade. I even got free tickets to the Astrodome so I could take my dad and watch the Houston Oilers stomp on the San Francisco Giants. I mean, we lost. Eventually. But it was the Houston Astrodome, for Christ's sake. Mr. Random Wiz was a great teacher. A great teacher. I want to squeeze his nose and let him know how much I appreciated him. Mr. Random Wiz, you were one hell of a teacher.
We at ExxonMobil are recognizing how much good teachers mean to us in our economy. Without good chemistry teachers, we wouldn't have the oil industry people like Phil Donahue and Rachel Maddow have to pay their bills. Bite the hand that feeds you, and you're just slapping people like Mr. Random Wiz in the face. ExxonMobil, skirting the BP Gulf disaster by diverting your attention by kissing ass to America's teachers.
Barren ways without the taste of water.
Water.
Old Ann and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water.
Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for me and you?
The nights are cool and I'm a fool. Each star's a pool of water.
Cool water.
But with the dawn I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water.
Clear water. He's the movement and don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil out of man and he spreads the burning sand with water. Then can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and is waiting there for me and you?
The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we'll pray for water.
Cool water.
And way up there he'll hear our prayer and show.
Water, clear water. don't you listen to him, Dan. He's the devil, not a man. Then he spread the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and is waiting there for me and you?
Strawberries in heaven.
And why do you suppose there's trail mix?
I have no idea. But I hiked from here to the Koreatown section and I couldn't find one strawberry.
Oh, you old poo. Then you shoot for some granola bars for a high.
That's bullshit. I'm gonna go fishing and look for old Walter, the 50-pound lake bass that always got away.
You won't find Walter in heaven, Norman.
What's that? And why wouldn't I?
Because, Norman, you can't fish in heaven. There's no more killing, hunting, no bait shops, no tortured worms on hooks, no Zeke's floating bait, only lakes and happy fish.
That's no fun.
Oh, what you saw as fun, Norman, never made a great deal of sense to me anyways, you old poop.
And that expression, old poop.
What of it, Norman? I can't tease you anymore. You used to like it when we were young.
I'm not old anymore. And I doubt there's poop in heaven either.
Oh, you...
Ha! I got your apple.
Well, that you do, Norman. For all eternity.
For what do you say we climb over that cloud bank over there and have some wild... kinky, uninhibited sex. You intoxicating young lady. You.
Now, Norman, just cool your jets. I doubt there's sex anymore here, too.
Even heaven can't keep me from... Even heaven can't keep me from feeling twitter-pated over you, Ethel Fair.
Well, heaven can wait, Norman.
Hello there.
Who's that?
Hey, I'm new up here. Mind if I pull up a cloud bank? Well, suppose we could stop you, stranger. Thank you. I'm Norman Thayer. This is my wife, Ethel Thayer. It sounds like I'm lisping, doesn't it?
I'd give you some strawberries, but heaven seems to be fresh out of them.
Funny you should say that. Did you know that strawberries are the very first fruit that Captain Crunch made an attempt at freeze-drying? Not only that, but ancient Babylonians decided to place strawberries onto the eyelids of their infants until they fermented, thinking that this would appeal the god of thinking that this would appease the god of angry prostates. Mm-hmm. Did you know that a hornswoggle, it means to bamboozle or cheat, is one of the few extravagant American phrases of the early 19th century surviving today. It's described as a fanciful formation by Matthews and first attested in 1829
in
Kentucky.
Who found this man,
Norman? No one knows who coined it. It may be related to the English dialect word
conifoggle.
But he's getting really bored. To win a woman's sexual favors.
It's kind of irritating, Norman.
Which is rooted in English slang, cunny, or vagina.
What did he say?
How about horse feathers? as a euphemism for horseshit, this word has been around at least since 1925. It may or may not be related to the term horse feathers, once used in carpentry. These horse feathers being the feathering strips used in roofing and siding houses. Because they're such big feathering strips, they may have been called horse feathers, like horse radders and so on. But how these horse feathers came to be a euphemism for horse shit is not clear, unless it came easily to some roofer's tongue when he had half said horse shit and a lady abruptly appeared upon the scene. On the other hand, horse feathers may have first been a synonym for nonsense, originating with such saying as, that's nonsense.
Warden.
That's like saying, horse have feathers.
Warden, you old poop, shut up. By the way, how come you were here, Warden? You said you just died, I take it. What happened to you? Well, it's an odd story. My old boss, Hank, hit me on the head with a piñata stick after complaining that I caused everyone at his party to quit his firm.
Why would you have caused them to do that, Warden, if you don't mind my asking?
Not a reason I can think of, Ethel.
Well, I think
Ethel,
we have to get
going. The loons!
The what?
The loons, Ethel.
The
Warden, listen!
The loons.
Crazy as a loon. Did you ever know about that expression?
No, but I bet you're going to
tell
us.
You about it. Crazy as a loon.
Listen to those loons, Mom.
That's crazy as a loon.
Let's leave him. I think he's looking it up. He's got a book with him. Yeah. Goodbye, Warden. Goodbye.
I think he's crazy as a loon, Ethel.
I think you're right, Norm.
The common loon, which is also known scientifically as the Gavia emer,
goodbye,
is noted for what one expert calls its mirthless laughter, a high, far-crying
tremolo
that sets your spine a-tingle.
Certainly does, Mommy.
This water bird's name may come from the Dutch loon.
But
loon has nothing to do with the word loony or crazy, which is a shortening of lunatic.
See in Korea,
it does give us the expression.
Goodbye, Warden.
Was a loon.
It was nice knowing you.
You could bore one to tears, couldn't you, Warden?
Well, got any Pepsi?
you dreamers. This is your old pal, Pinecone Pete, wishing you another pleasant end of the week on a Sunday night here on Pinecone Radio, 100.9 FM Pine Mountain Club. Let's go through the playlist, shall we? We just heard a little bit of music from Billy May and his orchestra, and it was called This Room Is My Castle of Quiet. And that's what we all hope we have this evening while we're resting up for another round of cattle rustling and whoops and hollers tomorrow as we get them doggies back in the pasture so they can eat their cud and their grass, and we can just, you know, have fun and letting them Australian shepherds nip at their heels. Before that, we heard Cool Water by the Sons of the Pioneers, one of my favorite groups. And before that, we heard Merle Travis with Divorce Me, C.O.D. And before that, we heard a section from a new radio show from Los Angeles, from Sin City, L.A. And that show was called Preach Around. It's a fun radio show with lots of good moral values and lessons for all of us, especially the arena of sexual promiscuities and relationships with, you know, the opposite sex. Before that, we heard an old Christian record reminding us all to treat our neighbors as ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that was from Preach Around, too. Before that, we heard William Shatner and his song called Has Been. I think he did that with that fellow from Ben's Fold 5. That was Ben Fold who did the music with that one. Yes, indeedy. And before that, we heard Peter Gullerud in his version of an old song, which was It Was a Very Good Year. Before that, we heard Dean Elliott and his big band doing You're the Top. You're the Top, folks. And You're the Top right here on Pinecone Radio every Sunday night beginning with 6 p.m. and Lizzie Bolden's Children's Hour, followed by Trail Mix, which you're listening to right now, followed by Rural War Room from our friends in Little Rock, Arkansas. I always wanted to go out there and find out where that Little Rock is, where that's, you know, where it all came from. And that's with Donovan Suit and Byron Orner, who, you know, we all used to hang out with in all the Los Angeles animation days. And before that, we heard the Steve Miller Band with an old rock and roll classic, The Joker, made famous by the Batman series. And we all know about four or five different versions of The Joker, don't we, folks? Well, this is your Joker, Pinecone Pete, saying, let's get back to them doggy dreams so we can do it right. Tomorrow's another working day, folks. Tomorrow's another cattle rustling, knee slapping, saddle sore, you name it kind of day. Happy trails to you, folks, and we will see you next week on Trail Mix. Have a good one, and always remember, split the breezes, you mule-hipped cayuses. Hee-hee! Hee-hee-hee!